Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CDH Conversations. My name is Buleng Mutabeng. I am an associate in the Tax and Exchange Control Department. And today I am joined by Hamera Parag, who is a director in the Tax and Exchange Control Department. In honor of Women's Month, CDH is recording a series of episodes dedicated to women's empowerment. And in today's discussion, we are talking about the empowerment of women in the tax profession. Hi, Hamera, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you. To get started, I would like to hear about your journey in the tax profession. How did you get into it? Why did you choose a career in tax? And how has it been going?
So, Buleng, I've been in practice for around 13 years now. And if I go all the way back to my studying days, I didn't want to. So my academic background is that I'm a lawyer and I do practice tax exclusively, but I didn't know that I wanted to become a tax attorney. I, in fact, didn't know that I wanted to study law. But when I studied it, I thought I'd made the biggest mistake. And when I reached, I think it was for us in our final year, my tax elective, I was like, this is something that I could do, because I was much more logical and maths and science based, and I wasn't sure why I studied law. So when I was exposed to the elective, it's what I wanted to do. And in my early days, in fact, when I had done my articles, I had done much more litigation. I didn't do tax.
Okay.
But I think what frustrated me with litigation or problem solving for clients at the time that there's a problem was that you're not constantly working on mitigating risks so that there is no problem, not sort of hand-holding clients so that their business runs seamlessly, and you're not always sitting as a lawyer when there's a problem and trying to solve it at that stage. So having been exposed to litigation where it's always at the point where it's, you know, a big problem that you've got to now solve with court intervention, I easily transitioned to tax because I had a underlying interest in it and I wanted to see more in practice. The practice was hugely different to what I had studied, but it was just amazing. And I say this mostly to the juniors that come into tax, is the huge advantage about it is, I mean, where I am now, you know, having initially not liked studying law, having now practiced it for so many years, I love the law. So I love the law generally. And I think the advantage with tax is that you get to see the law from across the spectrum of what a practitioner would get exposed to. So
yeah,
you get pre-transactional experience where you get to do a lot of planning for clients on their businesses. You know, you can do mergers and acquisitions and structuring and, you know, all that nice stuff where you making use of innovation and planning. And then, you know, you can also have fiscal law. So we do tax, we do exchange control. So you get all that pre-work, but then you also get, once your deal is over, the decisions and the advice that we give to clients is ultimately tested by SARS, because it's a view the client takes and it goes into a tax return or doesn't go into a tax return. And that is ultimately tested. It could be tested at some point by our regulator, which is SARS, and then it could become litigious. So the advantage with tax, and why I love to practice it so much, is that you get that full
range,
pre-transactional, post-transactional, and then litigation. So you still get to go to court, you still get to be instrumental in changing the law, you still get to have that fight, because I love advocacy and litigious work as well. And so my journey has been wonderful. And so right now, you know, our team, and at CDH, I mean, we've got various teams that specialize in various areas of tax. Our team does corporate tax and international tax, and then we also do tax disputes as well. But it's just been a wonderful journey.
And I guess the advantage of seeing that full range of the different things that you can do is when you are structuring a mergers and acquisitions, you kind of already have the foresight of what SARS might look at, and it kind of makes it easier from that perspective.
Yeah. So in short, it's probably every other practitioner in our firm would say the same thing. It's wonderful because you get exposed to so much.
Yeah.
And so it's a really rewarding career from exposure and what your daily job is. It's very much enriching. And how about you? What's your, you know, you slightly younger than me, an associate in our firm. What's your experience been like and your journey been like?
I would say a little bit similar, but a bit different as well. I did a BCom law. And I also, I mean, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But one of my teachers in high school said, "You're always arguing, you know, I'm sure you'll want to be a lawyer one day." But I always had this idea that one day I'll be like a CFO of a company. So BCom Law was like, okay, let's play it safe until we figure out what we want to do. But my interest in tax specifically was peaked in my second year when I had a subject, which was BAL 200, which focused mainly on tax, but it was more from the commercial side. And from literally my first introduction into it, I really did enjoy it. I think I enjoyed spending time on it, especially in comparison with like my other legal modules. I could spend way more time, you know, really being invested in it. So yeah, I would say that's when it peaked. And throughout the process of being a student, and as you've said, I mean, studying the theory and the practice is so different, completely different. But even as I got into being a candidate attorney and now being an associate, I've still really enjoyed the profession. And I think, like you say, the complexity of it, the variety, the diversity of it, you know, I mean, no one day will ever be the same.
Absolutely.
No one transaction will ever be the same. So also how it almost forces you to be like a lifelong student, how
Absolutely.
You're continually
Oh, that's
learning.
Such a good point.
That's definitely one of the things I enjoy about it and what has kept me here.
I think it would be remiss of us not to say, but every transaction that takes place, and this is a very, CDH is a very commercial firm, but every transaction that takes place has tax implications.
Correct.
And so we are quite critical to every deal that takes place within the firm.
Yeah. So now speaking about our respective journeys, and I mean, you said you've been in the profession now for 13 years and I'm coming up on just about 5. How would you say the landscape of women's representation in tax is currently, and how has it shifted from when you started as a tax professional to now?
I remember when I was a trainee in tax, I remember listening to a UK PwC podcast where they said that tax is one of the consultancy streams that is most male, in fact, most white male dominated.
Okay.
And that was in the UK.
Yeah.
And I can attest to that. In my early days, I particularly saw it. And, you know, we do sort of see it or experience it now as well. The representation of females within tax is clearly not equal to males.
Yeah.
It's much more male dominated. And I think that is particularly at the manager, leader level, partner level. With juniors, even when I had started, I think I was always in quite diverse groups, but you'll see how the females will sort of trickle out. And you'd always be looking up to a partnership that was predominantly male. In fact, when I was a trainee, there were only 2 females in the partnership within our tax department, and it was one of the big 5 law firms. And when I looked up to them, I was, you know, quite intrigued because they also had very specific traits. They were not married and they didn't have any children, which is actually me today.
Yeah.
So I've sort of perpetuated that. But in my head, I had it that was the only way to sort of equate to a man and to be accepted within the fold. And so there's all these, and it may be completely self-created biases that juniors tend to have, or that I just tend to have, having looked up at the partnership. What I can say though is, you know, in addition to hearing that podcast back in a few years ago, is that I have worked at an international law firm and an audit firm, and it's quite similar. And so it's not only a South African law firm thing that, you know, it's representative of South Africa, but in international organizations and in audit firms as opposed to law firms, I've seen it as well. The problem is more at the partner level, or the lack of equality in gender. It's not really at the junior level. As I said, is when I came in, very diverse, but then it's as you approach partnership, how the females fall away. And it could be because of the demands of the profession. It could be biases,
yeah,
as well. But just, you know, sort of aesthetically and based on my experience, that's what it's been. It's been a very male-dominated profession. I mean, I must add, in our department, I am the only female partner. So it is a problem, and it's something we must work at improving. We can't leave it there.
In asking what the barriers are in kind of advancing in a career in tax, I know you mentioned the biases and you mentioned the demands of the job. Would you say those are the key barriers that are keeping women from really advancing in this career and staying with it?
I think so. I think the demands of the job, and again, in a consulting environment, you're selling time. It's generally hard for women to sell time. So that generally makes it difficult. I think it's just for us to also explore why is it, you know, across the various consulting environments that tech stands out as a bit more male. Because the demands will still be the same in a corporate commercial law environment or in audit in an auditing firm. But why is tech sort of standing out?
Mm.
I'd struggle then to say just biases and just demands. I think there's something more that, you know, we need to explore to try and fix that.
I agree. And I think from the biases point of view, I think because tech is so technical, perhaps people, whether consciously or unconsciously, they might think, okay, if you have to spend time to really understand something, you already don't have the time to do that. You know, you might get dismissed and say, no, she doesn't have the time to concentrate on this, or because it's so complex, surely women can't understand this.
Very true. That's
so
very
I think
true.
That's
so it
probably
may,
why.
As you're saying, it may also just be a confidence thing.
Yeah.
So it may be that the younger females don't feel confident enough to take on something that is broadly regarded as so complex.
Yeah.
But then we need to help juniors become more confident, help them through the journey of, you know, the challenges and complexity and train them sufficiently, but also give them that support and confidence that they can make it. And so what about you? What barriers have you seen, you know, within your level in relation to women's representation in tax?
I think similar to you, lived experience in the sense of from a partnership perspective, it is generally male dominated. But as a junior, it is a bit more diverse, even across, you know, you will see a bit more females. And maybe it's just a time thing for that to change. I don't know. But definitely, I do think biases play a role. I think women are discouraged, I think, at a point, because it feels like you're putting so much in, but the rate of return is almost, it doesn't make sense. I could get so much more by doing other stuff than to invest in a career in tax. And it seems women need to invest so much more than
so
our male counterparts just to get to a certain level. So yeah, I think that's probably why. That's what I've seen. But from a changes perspective and from a policies perspective, I think then we probably need to start working on people's mindsets. And I think that's probably going to be the hardest change, because unless you're motivated to change, why would you, right? And I guess that's where the policies come in, where we have to force people to kind of bring about change. And I think from my perspective, I think the policies that we do kind of initiate need to provide women access to support that they need to actually advance in the career, whether it's access to education so that they get that technical know-how, so that they grasp those complex technicalities of the profession. But also, I think the networks, you know, I think we're still a profession. I mean, the legal profession as a whole is so dependent on your network. And I think with a strong network, the world is your oyster. And I think women are still not allowed into the room as much as they should be.
That's an excellent point, because, you know, sometimes they say that corporate South Africa is a brotherhood and it's a male network. And the challenge, and that may be, you know, across the board once you reach partnership, is that then you have these demands of, you know, having to create a book of business, to have a client base. And the client for a tax practice is a CFO or it's a head of tax. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, in corporate South Africa, those are predominantly a certain demographic. And so it's breaking into that. So gaining their trust. And, you know, because tax, unlike other areas of law, carries a huge amount of risk. The clients want to instruct a practitioner that they absolutely trust. And so that requires that you have been advising on tax for a certain amount of time. That requires that you have, you know, worked with particular clients for a certain amount of time. And so the challenge is breaking into that to gain their trust, because, you know, they could give other legal instructions to other departments, but it's because of the risk. And because of the risk, they tend to want to go to more gray hair. They tend to want to, you know, stick with whom they trust and who they're comfortable with. And so then you find that, you know, work sits in pockets. Because let's be honest, it's not a huge fraternity. There's not a ton of us.
Yes.
But the tax legends, there are tax agents in our market, sit with a lot of work. And then there's some tax advisors that don't have or aren't exposed to that. So it's not only gaining traction in the network, as you say, internally within your organization, so that you develop the trust, so that you develop the support base, so that you get those sponsors and mentors to uplift you, but also getting buy-in from corporate South Africa to trust you, to brief you, and to instruct you. So there's not an easy fix.
Yeah. And I liked what you said about the sponsorship and the mentorship, you know, and I think it's very important. And just leading on that, are you aware of like any initiatives or like programs that are out there that are actually assisting women or supporting women in the tax profession?
So I know the South African Institute of Tax Practitioners has a few initiatives where they're trying to uplift female tax practitioners. There's also the WIN organization, but there's not enough. And where you need structured policies and organizations that uplift women within tax is in their respective tax advisory firms. They need that sort of groundwork from their institute. Do you know what I mean? So I think the starting point is for you and I to solve and create policies and initiatives within our organization before we place reliance on these external organizations. These external initiatives are wonderful and you know, you and I are part of them, but I'm not sure it's really solving
the issues at home.
The issues at home. I know you're part of some organizations as well. Do you want to speak to?
Yes. So I'm part of YIN, which is the Young IFA Network. So it's more of developing, and that's what we're trying to do, to kind of assist you to build that network while you're at a junior level, you know. It does speak to the technical part of the tax. So we do have events where we will do panel discussions on some more topical things. But I think it's more of a networking opportunity to kind of build a network within each other. Because I think a career in tax is, I mean, you can build a long career in tax, right? And starting at the beginning, the people that start with you now might be people that go into and become your clients and become in-house counsels and people that give you those briefing instructions. So that's what the network kind of tries to do, to get you in touch with those people. And yeah, and network.
Yeah.
And have fun.
Speaking about that, I mean, there's not a lot of female advocates that specialize in tax.
I've noticed that.
There's
yes,
a shortage of that. We don't have a lot of female advocates to brief. So there's also a gap there. I know that SARS and National Treasury also have initiatives, sort of diversity and inclusion internal initiatives to uplift females within their organizations. And you're seeing females are sitting in key roles within our regulating authorities, which I think is great.
Yes.
And you're also starting to see heads of tax that are female within law firms, within, you know, your top four audit firms. You know, change can only happen at a leadership level. And so by getting females in those key positions, as opposed to just sort of account holders or practitioners within a department, that is going to allow a lot of change.
I agree. No, I totally agree.
What is your vision for the future of women's empowerment in the tax profession in South Africa?
Interesting question. I think my vision is, and I think this touches on something that you said earlier, I think just recognizing the inherent power that women bring and the fact that they bring a unique perspective. My vision kind of is like where we're no longer telling women that you need to work harder to create a successful career, right? I mean, we've already spoken that a lot of the times women probably don't have as much time at their disposal as our male counterparts do, especially if you want to be a wife and a mother and, you know, you want to have a balanced lifestyle. So my vision is where we are allowing women to recognize that, listen, I bring a unique perspective. I can build a career in a different way. I don't have to do it how it's always been done, you know, where we are encouraging women to basically shatter the status quo and letting them know, listen, there are multiple pathways to success. You don't have to do it the way it's always been done to advance in the career. And I think that will probably encourage women to stay and be like, okay, I don't have to do it how I've seen it. I can try and think outside of the box. How can I be successful in this career?
I love that you say that, because I think I'm an example of a person who didn't do that. I saw that the typical tax partner, sort of the prototype of a typical tax partner, which was dedicate your heart and soul to practice. And, you know, don't have children, don't have families, but you've done it differently. How have you coped? Because, you know, at an associate level, it's even harder because working at proving yourself, your workload is much more. How have you done it with a family and with your boy? How have you sort of navigated that? And, you know, looking to your partnership, predominantly male, the female doesn't have a family. How have you gotten the confidence to stand your ground and say, this is who I am, I'm going to do it differently, and I'm going to inspire juniors, females, to do it differently?
You said it right. You need to know who you are, and you need to understand why you're doing it, right? I mean, it hasn't been easy, I'm not going to lie, because, I mean, it is difficult. Although they say there's no set timelines when you should achieve things, I mean, we all look to our peers and be like, hey, they've done it in 6 years, I need to do it in 6 years. But I think in speaking to my vision, you kind of have to change your perspective and be comfortable that, okay, I am taking a different path, and you need to be comfortable with taking a different path and knowing that it's going to look different. That, okay, I might not make the millions now or in 6 years as my peers might, but, you know, it's going to come. That kind of fuels it to kind of recognize, I want to be here. I want to pursue a career in tax, but I don't want to do it how it's always been done, because it's probably not as sustainable in the long run. So I think just being comfortable with the idea and knowing, kind of seeing your end vision or end goal, you know what I mean? That kind of helps to kind of motivate you on the way.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely with that. And I think I must just add, tax is not only is it rewarding from a learning and a practice perspective, it's a highly rewarding career, but financially, it's also very rewarding. So, you know, if you work really hard and you do really well at it, it's a good and it's a financially rewarding career. And it is so versatile as a profession if you were to go overseas and practice, because a lot of our principles are very similar. I've had experience working offshore, and tax is such a versatile career, so it's worth it.
And on that point, maybe just to wrap up, what advice would you give young professionals that are considering a career in tax?
It's just to go back to what you said. I think the most important thing, and I see where, you know, the juniors that work in my team struggle, is younger lawyers or chartered accountants, or, you know, they want to reach partnership because they see that as the pinnacle within a certain time frame.
Yeah.
Tax takes much longer because the learning is much slower because it's extremely high risk and extremely complicated. So I watch how juniors get so despondent with watching their graduates from university, from accounting or law, and how their career trajectory goes so quick, whereas tax takes much, much, much slower. In fact, you know, for example, your articles being 2 years, prior law firm that I worked at, we made the articles 4 years. So it was 2 years articles, 2 years trainee, because that was consistent with the audit firm environment, where in your first 4 years, you really, that is where you are in training. You know, don't be despondent about how long it takes, because it's so rewarding, as I said. And if you stick with it, it will be worth it. The other thing is, again, with the juniors, I think it's the millennial thing. It's, you know, the desire to know and, you know, be sitting in a chair and advising clients and be front-facing immediately and all of that. You know, that doesn't happen for a long time because of the risk that tax entails. And you will not know everything. In fact, every day you will question everything, and every transaction and every client's business is different. So you must question everything. But I see there that breaks the confidence. And that's why I really think when it comes down to it, it's a confidence thing that we have to work at. Because when a junior doesn't have a matter and they're running it on their own and they can see their colleagues in other areas of law or finance, they lose confidence and they don't feel inspired to reach high levels. So stick at it, and then you have to dedicate yourself to being a student for the rest of your life. Tax laws change annually, and so you're going to be learning all the time. but that's the wonders of tax. So insofar as women are concerned, I think it's for us to help them, to uplift them, to ensure organizations are creating policies and initiatives to help them up the ranks. So change it from the ground up and perhaps help change the mindset of the partners to be more open to having these initiatives to groom females up the ranks and to make concerted efforts to sort of change the demographic and change the aesthetic of tech being just a profession for males.
Thank you, Hemera. I think what I got from that is comparison is the thief of joy if you want to pursue a career in tech, and always be open to learning and never give up. Always keep trying, keep showing up. But thank you, Hemera, for this conversation. It was very enlightening and it was quite fun having this with you. I mean, at CDH, we do believe that the issues that women face as a whole, not just in tax, should be recognized throughout the entire year. But I hope this conversation will ring some alarm bells in people's heads to, you know, really notice the issues and kind of work with us or the rest of the profession to kind of bring about change. So, yeah, I hope it does that. Thank you.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.